Hi, everyone. My name's Kyle. I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon. Really grateful to be here today. This is the first time I've had the privilege of speaking as an Al-Anon, and so bear with me as I muddle through today. I did kind of come up here with a resentment because normally there's a table up here that I can hide behind with the two other guys sitting next to me. There's no table today, so what's up with that? Anyway, I've been coming around Al-Anon. I started in Al-Anon at West Seattle Al-Anon Family Group in about January of 2001. But I don't really call that my date because, you know, I had another relapse today. So you and Al-Anon will get that. you know, I didn't get too much time to prepare, but I did want to read something out of how Al-Anon works, because this kind of describes me, and then I'll kind of get into my story a little bit. This is on page 286. It says, "The other reason I felt out of place at my first Al-Anon meeting is that, other than my mother, I am the alcoholic in my family. I've been sober for 30 years, but some years back I realized that I needed something in addition to AA, or I would probably not continue to stay sober. I am fortunate to have found exactly what I needed in Al-Anon, although it took a while before I realized it. At first, every time an Al-Anon member referred to the alcoholic in his or her life, I felt they were talking about me. Had I not been torn up inside worrying about my mother, I would have walked out and never come back. But I didn't know where else to turn, and my AA sponsor suggested that I give Al-Anon a chance. Eventually, I got past the feeling that I was the enemy. Since I was welcomed with warmth and treated with respect, it became clear that my own attitude was causing my discomfort." So that kind of describes me. I also have a drug and alcohol problem too, and I'm going to try to keep my focus here on my Al-Anon experience. So bear with me there. But some background in alcoholism. My mother grew up in an alcoholic family, and it caused her to have some psychiatric issues, which she had to go about to work through. And my dad grew up on a farm where his dad didn't spare the rod, and my dad didn't either. So when my brother and I got in trouble, we get hit with a belt, right? And so I learned to deal with that by going and hiding and not doing anything. I would avoid going home. I'd stay outside. I'd do anything to stay out of the house. I'd sneak out. I'd go and hide, and I wouldn't have to interact with anybody, whether it be my father, my mom, or anyone else. I wouldn't have to worry about it. And I kind of got picked on in school because I didn't want to interact with folks. I wanted to be inside myself and not take part in anything. And so it was really hard for me to come into any kind of program or even school for that matter and try to express myself, because it was something I wasn't comfortable with, and I'm still really not that good at it. Fast forward a little bit, and I got into some medication and taking care of myself that way, but that didn't work for me. And so when I came into Al-Anon at the request, actually it wasn't really a request, it was just something that had been bandied about while I was attending Alcoholics Anonymous. And so I went to West Seattle Al-Anon Family Group. That was my start in Al-Anon. And you know, I went through the steps, I had a sponsor, did a four-step, went to the four-step workshop out here a couple times, and so I got busy. And I was trying to take care of myself, but I really kind of didn't know what I was doing, right? I was kind of just going through the motions. And then I met this woman. And she was kind of an arranged setup, and because she was a teacher for my dad at some point a long time ago, and she came to move out to Seattle, and we moved in together almost right away. And I had a condo downtown, and so she was a pothead. She smoked a lot of weed, and she gave it up before she moved to Seattle. And so we got along, and I, you know, she had four dogs, and you know, it was kind of one big mess, right? I spent time trying to fix the dogs and trying to make them do stuff. I tried, right? I tried to fix my girlfriend at the time. We talked about getting married, and I tried to fix her by encouraging her to take this other job because this one wasn't paying her enough. You know, she should do this. She should not take her own path. And so, meanwhile, while I was telling her what to do, she was telling me what to do. I sold my condo in Seattle. I bought a piece of land out in the middle of nowhere, and we were going to move out there. And needless to say, I was really torn between being able to tell somebody what to do and actually taking direction. And so one day I came home, and the unmistakable smell of marijuana was in the air. And I'm like, what the heck is this? You know, I'm a recovering addict alcoholic, and I can't have this in my life. So that day I moved out. I took off, and the alcoholic in my life took care of me at that point. However, later in the day, we made up, and I moved back in. Because I still had this land that we were going to live on, right? And she said she was going to make some changes in her life. She didn't say she was going to quit using. She just said she's going to make some changes. And so she did. She started smoking away from me. And she started using with other people, with her friends. And this was a really difficult time in my Al-Anon life where I had the voice of Al-Anon in my head saying, okay, you need to detach. You didn't cause or use. You can't cure it. You can't control it. You need to step away. And I was having these thoughts as I was driving down 202 at 100 miles an hour trying to get to her because she was going to meet up with her contact, with her buyer. I think it was that point that I actually knew that I was powerless over my girlfriend's use at the time. And my life was definitely unmanageable as it had come. And then, her ex-boyfriend moved back into her house after I moved out again. And then another instance where I found myself powerless. And I've got the voices of Al-Anon in me saying, you know, what are you doing? Call somebody. Take care of yourself. Meanwhile, I had a knife in my car that I was going to go out and try to hurt this guy for interfering with my life. Right. And so that was the breaking point for me in Al-Anon, where I really buckled down because I was actually in Al-Anon. I felt like I belonged finally. I did all the steps and up until then, and I still hadn't experienced what it was to be in Al-Anon. I just thought I needed that in my life because I was an alcoholic and I needed to have this other piece in me. But now I realize that it was actually part of me. When those episodes were over, fortunately I didn't get hurt. Nobody got hurt. But I did find that I needed to reach out. And so, I started being more active and I was treasurer at West Seattle Al-Anon Family Group. I did, I was secretary there too. I made a lot of friends and met a lot of people there that I truly love. And the nice thing about Al-Anon, one of the nice things about Al-Anon is I can feel there. I can go there and I can have my feelings and describe what's going on inside of me without having fear of reprisal or anything like that, because I could never understand why people wanted to be my friend, because I always wanted to hide. I always wanted to say, back off, I don't need you guys, but what can I help you fix, right? But for me, it was more about how do I take care of myself and still be able to communicate, be a communicator and talk to other folks, and to be able to actually give more than take, is in from an Al-Anon perspective. It's been kind of a long road back, and I really think that I never would have understood what it was like to be in Al-Anon until I had those experiences, because I wanted something in my life and I didn't know what it was. I was missing the feeling part and the loving part that I really need. I wanted to push all the love away that I could get, and I wanted to push away anything, any kind of happiness or anything, because I didn't want to be interactive with anybody. I didn't want anybody to be around me and say mean things about me or hit me or anything like that. And so what I've really been grateful for as far as how this has worked out is it has let me go to meetings and go to other events and be able to understand what people are saying when they're talking about how their outside influences made them behave a certain way. When I've been taught in Al-Anon that I can make my own decisions and I don't need people to tell me what to do, or I don't need to tell people what they need to do to make something right. I didn't have much more to say than that. Again, I'm grateful for the time I've been allotted to share today. And I hope you all were able to get something out of my experience. Al-Anon today gives me a life I thought I'd never have. It's given me a sunshine inside myself that I never thought I would have, because there's just a life that out there that is not concerned about how things are manipulated. It's about how I can fit into the stream and to go with everything, or you know, I can hang on and be dragged, right? I'd rather just let go and then just go with the stream. So thank you very much for asking me. I appreciate your time.